Our colleague Tulsi Gabbard begins her confirmation hearing.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Will Haynes is joining me in studio. Of course, we have to start our broadcast with our prayers and really just to acknowledge the horrifying accident that happened last night over the Potomac in Washington, D.C. As we know right now, a commercial aircraft crashed into a helicopter that it was just an unimaginable tragedy, and we're going to keep monitoring that. President Trump just spoke on it. We'll go through that and see if there's some breaking news out of that, but I know a lot of them, right now it's just going through the press briefings, but apparently we're going to hear some answers soon about what went wrong. Now, I know you're being inundated with that, so what we wanted to focus today's show, of course, is our friend Tulsi Gabbard, who's been a member of the Seculo broadcast team for the last few years. He's been someone who has been part of the show each week, and now her hearing begins, her confirmation hearing, and it has already been brutal, but she's also held her ground. She has done a great job so far. We're going to play some of that coming up, and you've had already an interesting mix because you have some people on the right that wants to go after her. You have people obviously on the left that don't seem to be her biggest fans, but there are some, maybe even unlike what we saw with some of the other candidates that have been up, that are taking more nuanced approaches to Tulsi Gabbard, who understand her patriotism, her service to this country for the last 20 plus years at this point. And Will, you said it was pretty interesting to see even who introduced her.
That's right. So the folks that introduce the nominees typically are someone that would make a good impression on the Senate and someone that is truly a big supporter of the nominee themselves. And you would think that out of this kind of new MAGA movement, it would be people that were more friendly to that. But really, the audience is the senators themselves. And so it was interesting to me to see former Senator Burr, Richard Burr from North Carolina, the former chair of that very committee, the Senate Intelligence Committee, was he was the first to introduce Tulsi. Not a very MAGA Republican style politician. He's no longer the senator from North Carolina. He was very much a more moderate old guard Republican, is making the argument before his former colleagues at the very committee he used to chair, saying this is why you need to confirm Tulsi Gabbard. Also, Joni Ernst, who is someone who actually had a lot of issues with the nomination of Pete Hegseth in the beginning, but came around and ended up supporting him. She is a current senator, so she is speaking to her colleagues. She is also very concerned about national security. She's a former military, and she is the senator from Iowa. And she was there also making the case on why Tulsi Gabbard is the right choice. Once again, not a super MAGA type U.S. senator, very old school GOP. If you're in the MAGA camp, you may call them rhinos at this point in time, but very much a more traditional Republican are the two that were making the case. To me, that was a very powerful moment. Yep. Tulsi's opening statement, also powerful, but just the fact that those two individuals were the ones introducing her already set the stage of she's serious and you should confirm her, as well as Pam Bondi was in the audience there to support Tulsi as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we support Tulsi Gabbard here. She has been a friend and a supporter for many, many years and has been a member of our broadcast team for the last few years. So we encourage you right now, as today is our colleague Tulsi Gabbard's hearing to be the Director of National Intelligence. We encourage you, one, pray for Tulsi. She's been doing a great job. She seems unfazed. She is absolutely killing it out there. So, we're very proud of her, very excited. I didn't expect anything else. But they're grilling her on lies, on misinformation, on her faith. And we're going to discuss that coming up. And actually, I think in the next segment, because many of you have not seen this yet because it has been delayed because of the crash and all of the things that have happened over the last day, I'd like to play for you her opening statement. So coming up in just a minute, you're going to hear that. We're going to set it up when we get back. Phone lines are open for you. What do you think about Tulsi Gabbard? Do you support her? I know, obviously, she's somewhat of a controversial figure, but has been a friend of ours. 1-800-684-3110. And support the work of the ACLJ. You can also sign the petition to help secure her nomination. Welcome back to Seculo again. Our colleague Tulsi Gabbard, currently her confirmation hearing has begun. I know a lot of you have not seen it yet because President Trump was out there and Vice President Vance discussing the, you know, the horrible tragedy that happened last night in Washington, D.C. But I want you to see her opening statement because I think it's very important. So take a look. This is Tulsi Gabbard just a moment ago, her opening statement.
I'm honored and grateful to President Trump for his trust and confidence in nominating me to serve our country as the Director of National Intelligence at a time when trust in the intelligence community, unfortunately, is at an all-time low. Chuck Schumer admitted a few years ago, quote, "You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you." For too long, faulty, inadequate, or weaponized intelligence have led to costly failures and the undermining of our national security and God-given freedoms enshrined in the Constitution. The most obvious example of one of these failures is our invasion of Iraq based upon a total fabrication or complete failure of intelligence. This disastrous decision led to the deaths of tens of thousands of American soldiers, millions of people in the Middle East, mass migration, destabilization, and undermining of the security and stability of our European allies, the rise of ISIS, strengthening of Al-Qaeda and other Islamist jihadist groups, and strengthening Iran. Here are just a few other examples. The American people elected Donald Trump as their president not once but twice, and yet the FBI and intelligence agencies were politicized by his opponents to undermine his presidency and falsely portray him as a puppet of Putin. Title I of FISA was used illegally to obtain a warrant to spy on Trump campaign advisor Carter Page, using a Clinton campaign-funded false dossier as their so-called evidence. Biden campaign advisor Tony Blinken was the impetus for the 51 former senior intelligence officials' letter dismissing Hunter Biden's laptop as disinformation specifically to help Biden win the election. Former DNI James Clapper lied to this committee in 2013, denying the existence of programs that facilitated the mass collection of millions of Americans' phone and internet records, yet was never held accountable. Under John Brennan's leadership, the CIA abused its power to spy on Congress, to dodge oversight, lied about doing it until he was caught, and yet has never been held responsible. Under Biden, the FBI abused its power for political reasons to try to surveil Catholics who attend traditional Latin mass, labeling them as quote-unquote radical traditionalist Catholics. Personally, just 24 hours after I criticized Kamala Harris and her nomination, I was placed on a secret domestic terror watch list called Quiet Skies. Sadly, there are more examples. The bottom line is this: this must end. President Trump's re-election is a clear mandate from the American people to break this cycle of failure, end the weaponization and politicization of the intelligence community, and begin to restore trust in those who've been charged with the critical task of securing our nation. If confirmed as DNI, I will do my very best to fulfill this mandate and bring leadership to the intelligence community with a laser-like focus on our essential mission: ensuring the safety, security, and freedom of the American people. As the president's principal intelligence advisor, I'll begin by leading by example, checking my own personal views at the door, and committing to delivering intelligence that is collected, analyzed, and reported without bias, prejudice, or political influence. I enlisted in the Army because of the horrific terrorist attack on September 11th. And volunteered to deploy to Iraq in 2005, where I served in a medical unit. After nearly 22 years in uniform with three combat deployments to the Middle East and Africa, I'm now a Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Army Reserve, where I serve as a battalion commander of soldiers in Oklahoma, Missouri, and Arkansas. I served in Congress for 8 years on the Homeland Security, Foreign Affairs, and Armed Services committees. And it's my experience in the military and in the halls of Congress that have given me a deep understanding of the complex challenges that our nation faces. In both roles, engaging with world leaders, in both roles, being privy to highly classified intelligence. So I know firsthand how essential accurate, unbiased, and timely intelligence is to the president, to Congress, and to our warfighters. I also know the heavy cost of intelligence failures and abuses. Senator Collins, you led the creation of ODNI specifically to address those intelligence failures of 9/11 and Iraq's so-called WMDs. The need for the ODNI under strong leadership still exists today. If confirmed, I'll bring my experience and fresh eyes to leading the intelligence community. And my day one priorities will be to assess the global threat environment, identify where gaps in our intelligence exist, integrate intelligence elements, increase information sharing, and ensure that unbiased, apolitical, objective collection and analysis to support the president and policymakers' decision-making occur. I'll work to end the politicization of the intelligence community and ensure there is a clear mission focus in the IC on its core mission of this unbiased, apolitical collection and analysis of intelligence to secure our nation. I'll work to rebuild trust through transparency and accountability. This is a national security imperative. And I'll work to assess and address efficiencies, redundancies, and effectiveness across ODNI to ensure focus of personnel and resources is on our core mission of national security. Now, in my meetings that I've had with many of you, you expressed bipartisan frustration about recent intelligence failures, as well as the lack of responsiveness to your requests for information. Whether it's the surprise October 7th Hamas terrorist attack, to the sudden takeover of Syria by Islamist extremists, failures to identify the source of COVID, anomalous health incidents, UAPs, drones, and more. If confirmed, I look forward to working with you to address these issues. Ensuring the safety, security, and freedom of the American people is a mandate of leadership that rises above partisan politics. If confirmed, my commitment to the president, to you, and to the American people is this: I will do my very best to find the truth, no matter where it leads, and share that truth with President Trump, his advisors, and you in Congress, providing you with that unbiased, timely, and accurate intelligence as you make the tough decisions that'll impact the safety, security, and freedom of the American people. Now, before I close, I want to warn the American people who are watching at home. You may hear lies and smears in this hearing that'll challenge my loyalty to and my love for our country. Those who oppose my nomination imply that I am loyal to something or someone other than God, my own conscience, and the Constitution of the United States. Accusing me of being Trump's puppet, Putin's puppet, Assad's puppet, a guru's puppet, Modi's puppet, not recognizing the absurdity of simultaneously being the puppet of five different puppet masters. The same tactic was used against President Trump and failed. The American people elected President Trump with a decisive victory and mandate for change. The fact is, what truly unsettles my political opponents is I refuse to be their puppet. I have no love for Assad or Gaddafi or any dictator. I just hate al-Qaeda. I hate that we have leaders who cozy up to Islamist extremists, minimizing them to so-called rebels. As Jake Sullivan said to Hillary Clinton, quote, al-Qaeda is on our side in Syria. Well, Syria is now controlled by an al-Qaeda offshoot, HTS, led by an Islamist jihadist who danced in the streets on 9/11 and who was responsible for the killing of many American service members. Democrat senators in the past resorted to anti-Christian bigotry against some of President Trump's judicial nominees like Amy Coney Barrett and Brian Boucher. I condemn those actions as a Democrat in Congress at the time, as religious bigotry must be thoroughly condemned by all of us, no matter the religion. Unfortunately, there are some Democrat senators who still don't understand the principle of freedom of religion and Article 6 of the Constitution. Quote, no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. Unfortunately, they're once again using the religious bigotry card, but this time trying to foment religious bigotry against Hindus and Hinduism. If anyone is sincerely interested in knowing more about my own personal spiritual path of Hinduism, I welcome you to go to my account on X, where I'll share more on this topic. If confirmed as Director of National Intelligence, I will continue to live by the oath that I have sworn at least 8 times in my life, both in uniform and as a member of Congress. I will support and defend our God-given freedoms enshrined in the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. Thank you very much for your time. I look forward to your questions.
That was our colleague's opening statement. Tulsi Gabbard, as she sets confirmation hearing begins, to be the Director of National Intelligence, and I cannot be more impressed by that statement, and I feel like the comments I'm seeing right now on our YouTube channel and on Rumble and on social media say the same. So a lot of people are very excited that she will be there. We got to really make sure she gets confirmed, because it's going to be a tough battle. I encourage you to sign our petition right now. Go to aclj.org/sign. And of course, I encourage you to say a prayer for Tulsi, as it is ongoing and happening right now. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. I did want to show you that opening statement from Tulsi Gabbard, just so you have a frame of reference, because you know, a lot of people did not get to see it. As President Trump said, we are in a moment of anguish for our country as that mid-air collision occurred last night, and he was briefing. Everyone has kind of taken over the news, as you'd expect, but we want to make sure we don't lose sight of that this is happening, as well as Kash Patel's confirmation hearings as FBI director are happening right now.
That's right. And we will also be discussing the hearings of Kash Patel, but I think we should give some analysis of what we saw and what we have watched so far from Tulsi's hearing, because one, this one is a little bit more contentious than we've seen in many of
them.
We've
seen hit pieces come out against Tulsi over and over and over, it feels like, in the last 4 or 5 days. You right. felt the pressure building. And one of the things that came out was a question of whether she had met with leaders of Hezbollah. And that ended up not making it into one of the hit pieces. So that probably could tell you something, which is, let's leak this information out there and then not put it in our article. So then we could just have the information out there without having to confirm it. And what I like about Tulsi is you never have to question where she stands or what she believes in terms of these questions. So here's a question from Susan Collins directly asking about this.
As you know, there has been speculation in the press that you met with Hezbollah, a terrorist organization affiliated with Iran. Have you ever knowingly met with any members, leaders, or affiliates of Hezbollah?
No, and it is an absurd accusation.
That is another mic drop moment where you can't be any clearer. That is the least politician answer I've ever heard. Because usually it'd be like, well, not to my knowledge. I would have not, you know, come up with some sort of answer that included some loopholes if you needed it.
That's right.
But no, Tulsi came out there and said no, and it's an absurd accusation because they are making stuff up.
This is one thing I want to bring up as well. And from her opening statement, when she said, you know, they're trying to say that I have these puppet masters. Mm-hmm. But then she says, the fact is what truly unsettles my political opponents is I refuse to be their puppet. And when you see these accusations, and as we've discussed off air for the past weeks since she was announced, but really these past 5 days as it's headed towards her confirmation hearing, the attacks that have come out in almost every major publication about her religion, about trying to still hit that meeting with Assad. And one thing that I think should be brought up as well is it shows the hypocrisy of the left and some Republicans that sit on this panel in the Intelligence Committee that are more of the old guard, as you could say, is that back in the early 2000s, so like 2008, 2009, John Kerry was a sitting senator of the United States, and he traveled and had dinner with, and we have the photo, Bashar al-Assad and his wife. John Kerry and his wife dined with the president of Syria. This wasn't a time when Bashar al-Assad was a good guy and this was an okay thing to do. In the eyes of the collective genius that we see before us today. He was still the brutal butcher of his people that he is today. This was around the time of the Arab Spring when these things happened and when the civil war broke out in Syria. John Kerry, sitting U.S. senator, went and met and had dinner with his wife and Assad's wife. We have that photo. The U.S. Senate confirmed him later to be the Secretary of State for Barack Obama, 94-3. There was no, are you a puppet of Assad?
Yeah, no uproar.
Are you secretly a terrorist, John Kerry? The same senators, many of these senators, Susan Collins, who was actually pretty aggressive towards Tulsi in this hearing, voted for John Kerry to be the Secretary of State, one of the highest positions in the United States, just a couple people away yep. in the line of succession from being president of the United States. Well,
he was pretty close himself at one point.
Right. He lost the previous election, but by
a couple percent.
Still, you look at this and you say, that's the hypocrisy of the left. That proves the point where she says that what truly unsettles my political opponents is that I refuse to be their puppet. That's why we need someone like Tulsi Gabbard, Innit Director of National Intelligence, to start to push back on the abuses and the failures of our intel community. But someone like John Kerry can get a pass from these senators. Yeah. I don't buy that.
No,
and that's why you got to sign this petition.
Yeah, the petition you can sign. You can. That one's good. ACLJ.org/sign to do that now. And look, there has also been attacks on her patriotism, on her loyalty to the country. This is someone that's actively has been serving for decades in many different roles. And trust me, there are times where maybe you were like, hey, she was on this broadcast every week, and then she would disappear. I wonder why. Maybe there were some important missions to be taken care of that were happening on behalf of the United States. I want you to hear from Tom Cotton, Senator Cotton, who brought up this very important moment because they have been building this fight against Tulsi since she ran as a Democrat for president of the United States. Hillary Clinton and that group started to plant these seeds, and we are now seeing them come to fruition with no proof, no evidence, and really just to try to put you in an awkward position. But here is Tom Cotton today.
I'm dismayed by the attacks on Ms. Gabbard's patriotism and her loyalty to our country. For instance, Hillary Clinton has smeared Ms. Gabbard, calling her an asset of a foreign nation. Let me remind everyone that Ms. Gabbard has served in our Army for more than two decades. She has multiple combat tours, and she still wears the uniform to this day. She has undergone five FBI background checks. I spent more than 2 hours last week reviewing the latest, putting eyes on more than 300 pages. It's clean as a whistle.
So thanks to Senator Cotton for that, for saying what needed to be said, which was what? She not only has worn the uniform, still wears the uniform, has undergone five FBI background checks. And you may wonder, and this is just a personal thing that you may know about her, is obviously if you look at Tulsi Gabbard, she has a gray streak in her hair. And a lot of people think that's a cool like fashion statement, or maybe it's just how it was. It was not like that before she went to war, before she was serving during the war on terror. When it got back, they believe that that is something that was caused from traumatic stress. And she has decided to wear that proudly. Okay, this is not somebody who we need to be questioning like this, to be just feeding lies to. And look, it's going to be close. I'm not going to lie to you and say it's not going to be close. So we need your help. Sign that petition right now. And Will, you can explain why it's important to sign the petition. This is not just putting your name on a document that's just going to float into the ether. We are taking action.
That's right. And many of you may not know that ACLJ has an office right on Capitol Hill, that we have a government affairs team that goes to Congress and lets them know what the members, the donors, and those of you that watch this broadcast or listen, that what y'all want to happen in the Senate. When you sign this petition, we go to these senators that will be taking a vote on Tulsi Gabbard's nomination and say, here are the people from your state, your constituents that elected you, that want you to confirm Tulsi Gabbard. Go to aclj.org/sign. Make your name heard, your voice heard to your senator, and say, we want Tulsi Gabbard as the next Director of National Intelligence. That is what the ACLJ can help you do. We can go to these senators and let them know, confirm her.
Yep, and we have another half hour coming up, so make sure you join us. If you don't get us on your local station, find us broadcasting live on YouTube, Rumble, ACLJ.org, Salem News Channel. Be right back. We'll also take your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Second half hour coming up for the day. If you missed the first half, you can find it archived on aclj.org, on our podcast, Seculo Podcast, or on YouTube, Rumble, or however you get your podcast. We are there archived later on. I did want to bring up, we are currently monitoring Tulsi Gabbard's confirmation hearing. Our colleague, our friend, someone who's been on this show for a number of years now, giving us her very unique insight as someone who serves the country, as someone who served the country in many different roles, and now is up to be potentially, if confirmed, the Director of National Intelligence. Pretty amazing to see that happen. Now, Will, there are some questions coming in, and I think we need to answer this because people have asked about RFK, where things are with that. Cash Patel is currently up. This is just round one, if you will. There is still quite time. People are asking, like, is the vote tonight? When will this happen? We've got a little ways out.
That's right. So when you look at these hearings, this is just the first part. They get a hearing scheduled. Sometimes there are follow-ups. I know that there will be some closed-door, more classified meetings, settings for this role specifically. So after the members of Congress, or the senators rather, feel like they have gotten what they need, if they have follow-up questions, they can ask those, then the committees will vote on whether to advance the nomination. So the gatekeepers of the nomination are the committee that would have oversight of the activities of this member.
When does that happen? That takes time.
Right. Well, it depends on how long their follow-up questions, or if sometimes, as you've seen with Supreme Court justices, going before the Senate Judiciary Committee, which are also confirmed by the Senate, in the Brett Kavanaugh issue, they had the hearing, and then they said, we need to have another hearing.
Right.
So none of that is off the table. There isn't a constitutional or statutory timeline. But once they do choose to advance it, I mean, they can sit on it if they decide not to.
Yeah, I don't think there's a scheduled time right now.
Right.
It could be weeks from now.
And
hopefully
and
not.
Even as you saw with RFK Jr. yesterday, he had a hearing in the Finance Committee, but today he's before the Health and Human Services Committee. So he actually had to appear before two committees, and I believe only one has to advance his nomination, but it gets a little bit hairier there. What you could see, though, is once the questions have been, the follow-up questions or any other issue has been resolved, the committee will take a vote. Sometimes the chairman that wants to advance it will hold off trying to convince maybe a Susan Collins or a John Cornyn, which could tank her nomination when you have narrow majority on the committee to try and convince them otherwise. So I expect what we've seen is there is not a scheduled committee vote on this week, or I believe even next week. So it could be a couple weeks before they even decide to try and advance her nomination. But that could also change by her performance today. If she is able to satisfy some senators, or some senators are told by their other colleagues, what are you doing here? Let's move forward. Then I think you could see an expedited version of this. But after that, remember, that's not confirmation.
That's not
that just
vote.
Advances the nomination to the full Senate. They are the ones that confirm. There is normally a cloture vote, which is where the Senate agrees to take up the nomination. You have to get, the 60 vote threshold just to invoke cloture. That's where the filibuster that we hear about comes in. It's stopping something from even being brought forward. After that, there's about a 30-hour debate period. And then finally, unless the Democrats say, let's just get rid of the time limit, then you finally get a full Senate confirmation vote once it is scheduled, and you only have to get to 51.
I didn't know what I was asking. I'm sorry, because that was you had to take a breath, man. That's intense. But hopefully that does answer your question. I can't imagine it didn't answer your question. Hopefully that does. We are going to take your phone calls on this and Cash Patel's confirmation hearing. Harry Hutchinson's joining us in the next segment. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on Salem News Channel, YouTube, Rumble, wherever it is, you can call in. I'd love to hear from you. Also, throw a comment in. If you don't know what to comment, tell me where you're watching from, because a lot of you are engaged in this. And we also know that about half the people that watch this show each and every day have never seen us before. So if you're one of those people, I encourage you to hit that subscribe button. We do this show every day from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time, as well as post incredible content throughout the day. That's at aclj.org, on YouTube, on Rumble, on X. However you're watching right now, we are currently engaged. So do that right now and support the work of the ACLJ. Become an ACLJ champion if you can at aclj.org. Welcome back to Seculo. I did want to continue our coverage of our friend Tulsi Gabbard's confirmation hearing, but it's not the only one happening right now. Kash Patel, his FBI director, is up right now as we speak, and I think it's important to show you some of the clips and some of the highlights and also get Harry Hutchinson's opinion, who's joining us right now in studio. One of the big things you've always heard the ACLJ talk about over the last few years has been our support for these whistleblowers, Will. There's whistleblowers who have courageously made statements, but have suffered the consequences, sometimes unjustly.
That's right. If you've been following this broadcast, you know about this. But if you're new, the ACLJ has defended and had as clients whistleblowers from the FBI that were unjustly and illegally retaliated against just for trying to voice their opposition to things that they saw internally that were unconstitutional, unfair targeting, not equal justice under the law. And they had their homes, basically, then their lives ripped apart. One was reassigned across the country. The FBI was moving his possessions and his family's possessions. And then they put him on a suspended situation, no pay. And then his belongings were placed in storage.
They were held.
Because they were in the custody of the FBI. He couldn't even get his own personal property back.
And his
family. They were left homeless.
Yeah, his family's clothing and their furniture and everything that they owned was being held. So this is where the FBI, I guess to quote Kash Patel, sort of eroded the trust of a lot of people. And we need to get that restored. And Kash Patel is currently, again, up for his hearing right now. We think likely that he will be confirmed. But let's hear from Senator Grassley asking questions specifically about the whistleblowers.
Will you protect whistleblowers from retaliation, unlike former Director Wray, and promote a culture at the FBI that values whistleblowers' important contributions?
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman. I share in your beliefs about the importance of whistleblowers.
So we've spent a lot of taxpayers' money ruining whistleblowers. Will you commit to ensuring that no taxpayer money will be used to identify and retaliate against whistleblowers?
Senator, if I'm confirmed, it will not.
Okay.
Professor Hutchison, we this very week are going to be filing a lawsuit representing Empower Oversight, who we've worked with for years now on protecting these whistleblowers, to get more information from the deep state that still exists and to some degree needs to still be rooted out by someone like Kash Patel about their targeting of whistleblowers. But one question I had for you, you've seen now, both in Tulsi Gabbard's hearing and Kash Patel's hearing, you're hearing a lot of talk about whistleblowers. And whistleblowers are an extremely inconvenient, to put it mildly, phenomenon when it comes to the deep state, because they are the ones that are putting sunshine on corruption, illegal activity, or even just mismanagement or misuse of resources. And we know that under the Biden administration, Christopher Wray was not necessarily very helpful at protecting those whistleblowers. And we now look to these nominees that are more whistleblower friendly, even though a whistleblower could potentially be a negative thing for the image of the department they will run. But how important is it that we have nominees that look at whistleblowers as essential to an efficiently run government, a non-corrupt government, and ultimately a freer and safer government?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct. And so one of the things that is of utmost importance, I believe, is a root and branch removal of deep state operatives who basically have corrupted the whistleblower process in the United States government, but particularly in the FBI, particularly in the Department of Justice. Keep in mind that the FBI has gone after whistleblowers. They've gone after pro-life Catholics. They've gone after parents at school board meetings. And then you have someone like Merrick Garland testifying for Congress and saying, oh, we're not doing any of these things. Or we have Christopher Wray testifying before Congress and essentially denying that the FBI has gone after these individuals who are citizens first, but in many cases, they are members of the FBI itself. And so the ACLJ has done a great job in representing individuals who fall in the whistleblower category. Basically, when we support whistleblowers, we are supporting freedom. We are supporting the Constitution, and we are supporting all of the constitutional amendments, including the Bill of Rights. And so if you look at Crossfire Hurricane, if you look at the FBI, which has been engaged in allegedly false activity in terms of procuring fraudulently FISA warrants. All of these things have been done by the deep state before Trump was elected initially in 2016. It's continued while he was in office, and it certainly has continued during the Biden administration. And so we need someone like Kash Patel to come in and engage in a root and branch effort to eliminate this.
Absolutely. You see these names that are this time up, Kash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr. It's a new group. It's a group that, again, may be more controversial than any group that has ever been tried to get put up. I mean, we've obviously seen Pam Bondi now when Matt Gaetz was originally put up, because these are people who are coming to shake things up, to actually take the issues that have been sort of exposed over the last decade, I'd say. Things like the whistleblower situations, all of these other concerns that have come out of the American people, where if you were going to a era in the early 2000s, it wasn't like you were sitting there questioning the FBI very much. I mean, you may have been, but the national feeling, temperature of the country was not something of questioning everything that we were hearing. And sadly, over the last handful of years, I mean, we even saw it. Let's just get to the fact of those drones. I mean, think about this, the drone situation. For weeks, it was, what are these drones? Why are there drones flying over New Jersey? Why does this keep happening? They're incredibly loud. People are panicking. Copycats start happening. We don't know what's going on. But guess who did know what was going on? The Biden administration. They could have easily said, hey, these are FAA, okay. They're doing research and don't worry about it. But they didn't. They let the American people whip themselves up into hysteria, probably because of some sort of political gain. Now you have the Trump administration, day one, essentially, of doing press, come out and say, hey, just to clear that up, that wasn't the enemy, that was us. And of course, there's a lot of issues going on currently, and we're going to see what happens with that tragedy last night. But this is why it's a new group of people. And this is why it's some new faces, and some ones, like I said, that maybe on first glance you go, oh, I don't know if I would have put Kash Patel as my leading candidate for FBI director, but here we are.
Well, and I think also, Professor, when you look at Tulsi's hearing today, there are clearly individuals within the intelligence community, even within senators on that panel, that are concerned about disruptors of the status quo. They are very pleased with the status quo, not recognizing the mandate of the American people to change, reform, refresh, and root out corruption. And Tulsi Gabbard brought the receipts. She went through in her opening statement her priorities of the one, two, three, four. There are more than four bullet points of her just saying, here's the things that Americans are concerned about, our intelligence community and deep state, and we need to get to the bottom of this. And if that falls on deaf ears of any senator on that committee, I think that they're in for a rude awakening when they run for re-election.
I think that's precisely correct. So President Trump has nominated individuals who will not back down, who will strongly enforce the law and the Constitution. And that is precisely what many of the senators are afraid of. They don't really want the Constitution interpreted fairly. They want inside information. They want to control the American people. So if you look at Pam Bondi, if you look at Tulsi Gabbard, Kash Patel, and others, they are prepared to basically be incredibly transparent with the American people and to support their officials when they are right. So, for instance, they are prepared to allow whistleblowers to move forward. And I think that's a refreshing movement on behalf of the American people.
Absolutely. And phone lines are open for you. If you just heard that from Professor Hutchinson or any of the comments that we've had today, I would love to hear from you and get your point of view. Kash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard, this whole group, what do you think? 1-800-684-3110. You don't have to agree with us. If you're respectful, I'm happy to take your question or comment. 1-800-684-3110. And a lot of you are just joining us right now. We're going to play a lot of clips coming up in the next segment as well as take calls. So you're going to see more from Tulsi's confirmation hearing, maybe some from Kash Patel's as well. Give us a call, though, if you want to be on the air, 1-800-684-3110. We'll do our best to get to you. Today, again, our colleague Tulsi Gabbard, you know, you can't stress enough how important this is to us. She is a friend. She is a colleague. She's someone that we obviously have gotten along with for the last few years and have known her family for a very, very long time, decades and decades. So I encourage you to sign that petition to support Tulsi Gabbard and say a prayer for aclj.org/sign. It's S-I-G-N, or sign, or scan the QR code right now that you see on the screen if you're watching, and you should be watching. Check us out, aclj.org. We'll be right back with your calls, comments, and more from the confirmation hearings. DeSeculo? Not sure why we got that. Great. There we go. There I am. Hello. Welcome back to Seculo. We're going to start off with some phone calls. Let's go to John in Texas on line one. John, go ahead.
How are you? Good to hear from you. I'm glad America is back on the mend to being America again. And I hope that Tulsi Gabbard is nominated. Her military record speaks for itself. She has always defended the Constitution. And when Trump's time is done, I hope that she's the next president of the United States.
Well, I think a lot of us couldn't agree with you more. She is someone who has shown a lot of courage and a lot of bravery and has, like they've said, gone through 5 FBI clearances already. The fact that her patriotism or loyalty is even being questioned is really a shame and a sham. But I want you to hear from her confirmation hearing, because John, you brought up, you know, that there's no real reason for her not to be confirmed. And thankfully, you have a senator like Ted Budd in North Carolina who gives her that opportunity to even share that. So take a look. This, again, is a little bit of a longer clip, but I think it's important to set things up.
You know, Section 3023 of Title 50 states any individual nominated for appointment as DNI shall have extensive national security expertise. You served 4 terms as a member of the House of Representatives, which is a constitutional office, and throughout your tenure, you are a member of the Armed Services Committee and the Foreign Affairs Committee. Is that correct?
Yes, Senator.
You also served over 2 decades in the U.S. Army, including holding commands at multiple levels and served through administrations of both political parties. Is that correct?
Yes, Senator.
Throughout your time in the U.S. House and in the Army, you've been both a consumer of intelligence and a policymaker. How important is it for the intelligence community to provide timely, relevant, factual, and objective intelligence to policymakers?
Senator, it is nothing less than a matter of our national security. Too often in the multitude of intelligence failures that our country has seen, that objective has not been met. Now, CIA Director Ratcliffe talked about in his testimony before this committee how the CIA's own internal metrics have shown that analytic objectivity has gone down within that organization. This is the very kind of thing that I would seek to address if confirmed as Director of National Intelligence, is ensuring that politics, biases, or personal views are checked at the door. I would lead by example by doing it myself, and ensuring that that intelligence analysis and reporting meets the objective that the President and Congress requires, which is no politics, no personal abuses, and making sure that that objectivity in a timely, relevant fashion is brought to the president so that we can get ahead of problems in ensuring our national security rather than being caught on our heels and being forced to respond to them.
Again, another amazing response from Tulsi Gabbard, giving you a real reason to vote for her and hopefully ending some of this really slander that's going against her. To try to get her not confirmed. And look, Will was just giving me some information, some data, some predictions that are happening in just while that segment was happening, while we were just playing that clip. Right now, it is massively important for you to go sign that petition at aclj.org/sign to call your representatives to get involved in this. If you want to see Tulsi Gabbard as the Director of National Intelligence, I have no doubt that she will put the American people and your families first in terms of safety, security, and with all of our nation's sometimes best and worst kept secrets, and to make sure that she gets this. So right now, I encourage you just to do that. I think she's there for a very important reason, and we need her. So go to aclj.org and sign the petition.
I want to highlight one thing she just said in that clip. The CIA's own internal metrics have shown that analytic objectivity has gone down within that organization. This is the very kind of thing I would seek to address if confirmed as Director of National Intelligence, ensuring that politics, biases, or personal views are checked at the door. Who in their right mind could disagree with that? Yet they are trying to go after her. Why? Because I think they're afraid of being forced to do their job objectively.
Yep.
That is terrifying when you think of our intelligence community fighting against someone when the own internal data show that their analytic objectivity is going down within the CIA. That is the opposite of what should happen in our intelligence community meant to keep us safe. The founders of this country would be mortified by hearing something like that and then also seeing the attack from members of this bureaucratic deep state, the rumor, the slander that is being fed to every publication that is printing it with anonymous sources.
Yeah, printing or leaking.
With no real hard fact, not even getting statements to the contrary, journalistic malpractice. They would be completely mortified, the founders would, of what is taking place today.
I think it's also important to play this clip from, this is Josh Hawley talking to Kash Patel during these hearings, because what is really cool to see in this moment, to be honest, we can at least end with some positivity, is that all the topics we talk about on this broadcast, whether it's the whistleblowers, whether it's pro-life activism, whether it's religious freedom or Christian representation, they're coming up in these hearings. And you're liking the answers. And it's been a little while since we've heard that. So I want to play this, Byte 17. This is, again, Kash Patel. First, Josh Hawley, and then Kash Patel.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it's appropriate for the FBI to target people of faith, particularly those who hold pro-life convictions? Do you think it's appropriate for the FBI to single out and target people of faith in order to discourage the exercise of their First Amendment rights?
There can never be a targeting by law enforcement just based on their people's faiths.
And yet, under this last administration, the FBI and DOJ together brought numerous prosecutions under the FACE Act for nonviolent protests. President Trump has recently pardoned some of these folks, but it also includes individuals like Mark Houck from Philadelphia region, from Pennsylvania, who had an FBI SWAT team arrive at his door in the early hours of the morning, armed, of course, terrorizing him and his children, took him into custody. They charged him with a FACE Act violation. Why? Because he took his young son to a peaceful demonstration outside an abortion clinic. When his young son was shoved to the ground, he defended him. Mark Houck was acquitted by a jury, acquitted. Nevertheless, the FBI used their full resources, including a SWAT team, to try and terrorize him. Meanwhile, how many churches that were firebombed or pregnancy care centers that were firebombed, how many of them were protected by the last administration? Just about zero. It is an unbelievable instance of targeting. Mr. Patel, will you end this targeting if you get to the FBI, if you are confirmed, will you end it? And will you make clear to all agency personnel that there can be no targeting on the basis of religious belief, and this will never happen again in the United States of America, at least not under your watch?
Senator, if confirmed, and this speaks to an issue we were talking about earlier, there will be no such targeting if I'm confirmed as FBI director.
Direct answers. There will be no such targeting if I'm confirmed as FBI director. And we obviously heard very similar things with Tulsi Gabbard. Did you meet with these people? No. And it's absurd. It's refreshing to hear those kind of answers. I'm asking you to put up the graphic right now to sign the petition, because right now we got 35 seconds. And I want to give you guys that opportunity to scan that QR code and do it right now, because I think this is immensely important. Today, as I said, our colleague Tulsi Gabbard's hearing to be President Trump's Director of National Intelligence, and with the United States director of national intelligence, not just President Trump's. The deep state and the radical left have unleashed a firestorm of attacks on her. And we got to help it. They even put her on the terror watch list, someone that's currently serving. We've been actively working on Capitol Hill to get her confirmed. And I want you to join with us right now. Sign that petition. Scan the QR code, ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.